Today, we're going to, happy birthday, Steve, sorry. We're going to talk again about the larger story. And as we do this, there's a story I want to begin sort of reminding us of the larger story. We're going to take just a portion of it today, but just the idea of the larger story. My son lives in Glorieta, New Mexico, and previously he'd lived the last 6 or 7 years in Monroe, Louisiana. He's lived several different places, but he has two daughters he takes to school every day in Glorieta. Glorieta's just south of Santa Fe. They're in the Rocky Mountains, and it's a beautiful drive from his house to school. They're driving through the mountains, and it's awesome, right? And so as they're doing this, he's talking to them one morning and just saying, "Isn't this just amazing? Look out there and how the sun's coming up over the mountains. It's so beautiful." And one of his daughters says, "Yeah, it's just like a painting." And the other daughter says, "Yeah, we're in the painting." Isn't that good? We're in the painting. We're in the story. God's story that is good and good and very good, we're in that story. As a matter of fact, we're some of the main characters in that story. Not that all the story revolves around you, Emma. Yeah, or Kevin. He doesn't. But we're in the story. As a matter of fact, he created us to be his partners in that story. And so we're telling that story. And you know, the story was good. It was good. Everything was good. Creation. We spent some time talking about creation and how everything was good. And even human beings were created in the image of God. And it was awesome. And it was beautiful. But then something happened. And last week we talked about the rebellion. And as we talked about the rebellion, we're going to talk about that again today, but we're going to frame it a little differently. We're going to call it the attack. Okay? Same kind of issues, same kind of problems, but from a different perspective. And so last week we talked about this idea of rebellion, but I want us to get this verse in our mind at the beginning, and we'll come back to it at the end. Our struggle, it's not just against ourselves or other flesh and blood, other human beings. Our struggle is bigger than that. And so our enemy is bigger than that. Sometimes you feel like you're your worst own enemy, right? And the decisions you've made have brought you to a bad place in life, and that's sometimes true. But there's more to it than that. And today we're going to talk about it, a little bit about the more to it, the idea that our struggles against more than flesh and blood. And so then I just turned off the thing. Our struggle is against more than flesh and blood. So here it is. This is us. That's the enemy. Okay, y'all are supposed to have a little reaction to that. Some kind of reaction to just the. So maybe it's not that either. This might not be a good representation of the enemy. But we're going to talk about this idea of rebellion on our timeline. We've got it going here. Remember the return. I have to look up there to get it. Future, this is eternity future. This is eternity past. We're there in 2:17. You see it? See 2:17 there? Boom. Seeing new thing going on. And so we're at 2:17, and here's the rebellion, right? Right there. Right there. Toys, boys. We're gonna talk about that in a minute. Boys and their toys, right? And so we're going to talk about that, but what we're going to talk about today, the attack, I'm going to frame it in a time that is even before this rebellion. It's before this creation. It's actually somewhere in here. What happened before creation? And I love the look on Pam's face, like, what is going on? What's Bob talking about? Well, we're talking about the fall. And in the fall is a good place to think about this. And if you want to write this scripture down on your handout that it's not handed out yet. Okay, I need my team on the front row here. Snap into action. Here we go, right here. All of them. Go ahead and let the... Okay. Yeah, because we got a handout. The fall has the idea that it is bigger than just a decision that Adam and Eve made, but it's a decision that now we're all kind of living in a fallen world. And that there's brokenness in our world, and it's not just based on the decisions we've made, but we're living in a world that's broken. We live in systems in the world that are broken. And, you know, we are praying against some of those systems even right now. And so the scripture that fits this is Romans 5. And it's where all human beings have this great tendency to sin. And then the rebellion was the idea of not God's way. I'm not going to do things God's way. I'm going to do things my way. That's the rebellion. And we all have a little bit of that in us too, don't we? We've seen that rebellion in ourselves that we're not going to do this my way. I mean, your way. We're going to do it my way. And today we're going to talk about, though, the attack. And so if you have a Bible, it'd be good, or if you have it on your phone, Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read it to you, but Revelation chapter 12 is crucial for our text today. We're going to be in and out of that most of the time. I'm going to refer to some other scriptures, but it's mostly going to be this idea of the attack. And so here's where Revelation 12 begins. Well, it begins in verse 1, but we're going to begin in verse 7. For us, verse 7. It says, and there was a war in heaven. Okay, hang on a minute. What? There's a war in heaven. Now, a lot of this language that John's talking about is symbolic. So where is heaven? We're not going to go into that idea. Where is heaven? And where did the war? What did they shoot guns, or did they fight with swords, or what? But there was a war, right? We're reading the scripture. Verse 7, Michael, that's an angel, a lead kind of angel, and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. And then the Bible says, but he, that means the dragon, was not strong enough, and they, he and his followers, lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, or some versions say cast down. Okay? That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. All right, you with me here? And you see this in your handout? So we got there was a war in heaven, and Satan lost the war and was cast down. And it says the Satan, the deceiver, leads the whole world astray. If you read it in the NIV, version, it says Satan leads the whole world astray. If you read it in the American Standard or English Standard Version, it's going to say the deceiver who deceives the world. So nevertheless, we know he's a deceiver and he's leading the world astray. That means look to your right, look to your left, look around the room. He's leading all of us astray. Okay? That's his method. And then it says, we're going to keep going. It says, I heard a voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters accuses them before our God day and night. He's been hurled down. So this is what Satan has done. He is accusing. This is one of the way he fights his battle. He's accusing, and he's been cast down. Where has he been cast out of? Where has he been cast out of? Okay, he's cast down to earth. Okay, so then it says, they triumphed over him. We're going to come back to this at the end. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They didn't love their lives so much to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, heavens, and you who dwell on them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. Okay, we're on the earth, right? So watch out. He says, whoa, watch out. Because the devil is down here among us. He says he's filled with fury because he knows his time is short. He is down here on earth trying to attack you. He wants to destroy you. John 10 says that's his purpose. He's come to steal and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy. That's what John 10 verse 10 says. This is what Satan is doing right here and right now. He's come to kill you, Michelle. Now think about that. All of a sudden, Michelle goes, whoa. Not just you, Michelle, but think about that. If you are Jennifer and Jeremy, Satan is alive. He's here on this earth. He's come to kill not just you, but your children. Oh, yeah. We're in a battle. We're in a war. We're under attack. Okay, but, spoiler alert, Satan loses this war too. Okay, now, here's what we talked about last week, right? We talked about the idea of choice. And we had the idea that we're come, and as did Eve, and as did Adam, and as all human beings, we come to this fork in the road, and we have to choose. And there's two ways, God's way and my way. And rebellion means I'm going to choose my way. I'm going to do it my way, not your way. Okay? But really, that's not exactly the situation that Adam and Eve found themselves in. Not exactly. It wasn't just a road with equal choices. Okay? It wasn't just, hey, Coke or Pepsi. It was a little more than that. It wasn't just that going on. Okay? What was going on besides that? Well, there was a tempter. Now, he came. Sometimes the Bible's going to describe him as an angel of light with Eve. He disguises himself as an angel of light, but with Eve, he came as a serpent. And look at that picture of Eve. There's tons of pictures of Eve. But check this one out. She's sweet, right? You want to kind of go, aw. That apple's not that bad, right? We thought, oh, just a piece of fruit. Come on. Here's the deal. He's making this look really good. It's not just, okay, this road or this road. You know, I want to choose death today. Or I want to choose life. No, Eve says, I think I'll choose death. It wasn't just that. He was a tempter. He's making things that are bad look good. Has that ever happened to you? Something that was bad was made to look good. This is what temptation is about. My dad's here today, and he says there's two things in this world he can't stand. One is pain, and the other is, say it loud enough. Temptation. That's with me all my life. Temptation is real. It's not just a singing group from Motown. Okay? It's the idea that something bad is made to look good. And this is where she found herself. So what'd she do? She saw it was good. Hey, this looks good. It tastes good. I'm going to get wise from eating it. Yeah, all good. But no, not all good. Now, the tempter wasn't just around tempting human beings. He also had the audacity to tempt Jesus. You think if Satan has the nerve to tempt God's Son, he ain't going to come after you? Well, of course he is. And he's going to come. He believed he could tempt Jesus. He could take Jesus down. Certainly he believes he can take you. So here's an artist's rendering of that. Jesus. I call this pregnant Jesus. But I don't know who that Satan guy is, but he's tempting him, going to throw himself down from the temple. That was one of the temptations. But still, this choice that Eve made and that Adam made was a rebellion. And rebellion, we define it really an act of violent, what we call it, violent resistance, open resistance. It's the idea of the prodigal son. I want my stuff, Dad. Give me the stuff because I don't want you anymore. And I'm going to leave and go do things my way. And this was Adam and Eve making that choice. I don't want to do it your way, God. I'm going to do it my own way. And that's what we've done when we sin. We say, I don't want to do it God's way. God's way seems too hard. It's not enough fun. God's way, I want something to happen right now. God's way seems to take a long time. You know, sometimes I don't get my own way. Sometimes that parking spot's not meant for me. And I want it now. So why did she do it, though? Why did he do it? Why do you do it? Well, here's the deal. Our enemy, we had a choice. And that choice is still our responsibility. But we also have an enemy. He's working against us. He's working against us. And a major component of our life on this earth is that enemy tempting us. It's a daily, moment-by-moment battle that we're fighting. The Bible says, it's not just this, but he has disguised himself, it says, as an angel of light. That's in 2 Corinthians. He's disguised himself as an angel of light. He looks good. He sounds smooth. He sells used cars. No, that's not right. That's not right, because used car salesmen are not Satan. This is who he is. And he says, the Bible says he roams the earth. He's looking around. He's looking in here today that maybe he can get you. He wants you. But maybe you're strong today. So he's going to go on to the next one. He's roaming the earth looking for people to destroy, to devour. Now then, this still boils down to a choice. God's way or my way. So think about this. It's God's way or my way. When I'm tempted, it comes down to that. My way or God's way. If we can get that into our head, I think it makes the choice simpler. I want to do it God's way. Okay? I think, something that you own. I may want something that you own. I've checked out all the guitars back there in the back. And I may want one of those, but God's way says don't steal it. You know, you guys treat your guitars really nice, and I think that'd be sad if someone stole your guitar. Hey, Steve, you think? Yeah. God's way, no one's going to steal your guitar. You know what? If it was God's way, we wouldn't have to have locks on the doors. Wouldn't that be good? But see, some people, they want it now, and they want it yours, and so they'll steal it. Hey, God's way or my way? We're always in that. But see, here's the deal. It's more difficult than that because our enemy is a liar. John 8 says he's a liar, he's the father of lies, and his native language is lying. And so he's about lying, and he's lying to you, okay? This is the attack. He's lying to you. And the lying comes in a couple of different ways. First, he accuses God's people. This is what he does. He accuses them. He's an accuser. Satan, in Hebrew, means accuser. That's what it means. The Hebrew word Satan is accuser. So that's his character. He's an accuser. And one of the ways he's accusing God's people is he's trying to erode their faith and their identity. Now, I want to get at both of these and show you practically how he's doing it. Here's how he does it in his faith. And you've probably felt this before. This is how he did it with Eve. God doesn't love you. If he loved you, he'd let you eat that fruit. He'd give everything to you, not just everything, but he loves you. No, he doesn't, Satan's saying. He doesn't love you. He doesn't love you enough, or else he'd make you happy right now. You'd win the lottery today if God really loved you. You'd get the job you want. If God really loved me, I'd never get sick. This is where we're going with that. And you see how down the road you get. If God really loved me, and so Satan begins to erode our faith that God really loves us. This is the critical thing of people who are going through stress and trials. They think, God doesn't love me anymore. I'm gonna have to take matters into my own hands. Because God's way is too long. God's way is too painful. God's way doesn't make sense. This is a great thing for atheists. God doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. How do you mean he spoke the world into existence? That doesn't make sense. And so he's eroding our faith that God doesn't really love you as much, or that he attacks your identity. Here's how this happens. You know, you're not good enough by yourself. This happened to one of my grandchildren recently. Some of his friends said, you know, you're annoying. And so he began to think, am I really annoying? I gave it away when I said he. But here's what he's noticed about his friends. They like him a lot better when he has new toys. You know? And right here, so Satan begins to work on his identity. Some of you believe the same thing. People like you better if you've got a new car, right? Or a new boat, or a new membership to some place that you can take your friends. All of a sudden, yeah. Or for my granddaughters, it's because they like me better when I have new clothes. And when my body looks a certain kind of way. And until it looks a certain way and I have the right kind of clothes, people won't love me. Who is that speaking to my granddaughters? Yeah, it's Satan. And I look at themselves in the mirror, and they think, ooh, I may be getting fat. What? That's the F word, you know, fat. It's what it is. It's a word that people use to label mostly themselves. Yeah. And it's Satan. He's lying. He's trying to destroy. And I've seen people destroyed. And I've seen people die because they believed the lie about themselves. Not good enough. And so Satan accuses. Not only that, Satan sometimes uses people to make his lies seem true. Now, I had several examples of this, but Thursday night, Jeremy gave me an even better example of how does Satan use people to make people think the lies are true. Well, let me tell you this. He's used you. He's used me to lie for him, okay? But Jeremy's going to tell this story. You know, Jeremy's a football official. He's a referee. And because he's, you know, masochistic and he likes to hurt himself. So he's a referee, and he was talking about this incidences on the football field as a referee. And I want him to just stand up where he is and tell these two stories. And we're going to see if we can see Satan's lie being passed on from one generation to the next in these stories.
Had a high school football game a couple of weeks ago that the entire sidelines that I was on acted exactly like the head coach did. And it was appalling. The head coach was verbally abusive. He was undisciplined. And that entire group mimicked those actions. To the point to where the crew that was working with them went back to the computer system and scratched that team, and that crew will never referee that team again. It was a disappointing experience. I had a guy who said, I've been doing this for 13 years, and this is the worst sidelines I've ever been on. The converse of that was the team that they played that day as we were walking off the field. Every one of those young men came over and shook our hands and thanked us for coming out. And so it was a very clear picture of two different leaders and how they approached the game.
Here's my point here. The boys of that first game are being taught a lesson that's going to go deep into them. And I've seen this in sports all my life. And the lesson is, you don't have to respect authority. You just respect your own self. You're more important than the referee or your parent or your teacher or the police. Okay? And so this lesson is being taught from one human being to another human. Here's some other lessons that get taught that way. Racism. Where does that come from? Think little boys and little girls, when they're born, they come out racist? No. Somebody's teaching them. How about greed? Now, they come out with a desire to want things, but as they grow up, they learn that money is most important. It's the high value in my world. It's how I measure myself. Where do they learn that from? Other human beings. So, it's a battle. You understand? It's not just a choice, you know, Coke, Pepsi. No. We have a tempter. We have an enemy. He's always looking for others to devour. So what do we do? This is what? Our response is to fight. Fight. And I especially want you to think about this if you're a parent or any relationship you're in. You don't have to be a parent to be in a relationship where you really care for someone else. But I want to fight for you. I want you to fight for me. Okay? And what are the weapons we use? They're not bombs. They're not swords. I don't know what Michael and the angels were using in that fight. But 2 Corinthians tells us that we're in a battle and we're going to use 2 Corinthians 10, if you want to look at it later. We're going to use spiritual weapons. Okay, what might these be? I'm going to tell you a couple of them today. First of all, we can't win this battle alone. We need each other and we need God's power. So I want to talk about each other first. Man, would it not have been a different scene, a different story, if Adam and Eve standing there together and the serpent comes and says, "Hey, look at this fruit. It looks good." And Adam would have stepped up and said, "Don't do that. Let's go. Let's go. God said, don't do that. Let's do something different." Right? So much of the time, what we need is a companion who is on the road following God with us to say, "Let's do this together." We need each other. We need each other. And we also need God's power. And in our scripture, it comes to this phrase. The end of our sermon today is going to focus on this. The idea, I'm going to say a little bit more about this right now, but the idea is they triumph. They beat Satan. How? Blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. Okay. I want to talk about first, word of their testimony. What does that mean? How does that help me fight Satan? First of all, I want to say, what is that word of their testimony? Here's what I think, in this case, testimony meant. There's a point where you were lost and God moved in your life and you are saved. There's a point where Satan was attacking you. He was winning. God showed up and now you get victory. And every one of you has a story like that. Rachel has a story, right? Sarah has a story. Vicky has a story. And all of our stories are different. And when we tell our story, it gives me strength to fight my battle. So I'm getting the tar beat out of me by Satan. And God comes in some form or another, usually by another person. Or sometimes it's by a prayer. Or sometimes it's just by reading the Word of God. Somehow God comes and victory happens. Salvation happens. Reconciliation happens. And what I want to hear is Kevin's story. Now, part of that story is confession, because I got to tell the truth about my story. My testimony includes, and your testimony includes confession. You know what? I was going down the wrong road. And when I was going down the wrong road, this was happening to me. And I was making these bad choices. Is this where I ended up? But then God came. And God came in the form of the church, or he came in the form of a parent, or he came in the form of a coach, or he came in the form of a sermon, or he came in the form of a song, but God showed up and I was rescued. That's testimony. And you have one. You're living one right now. And you know what? I need to hear your testimony. I need to hear your testimony. We all need to share that. And that can happen in a church setting, but it can happen at the coffee shop. It can happen over dinner. It can happen anywhere where I share my story with you. And what the Bible says in Revelation, they overcame the attack by the word of their testimony. Because when we band together, we're strong. And when we tell the story of what God's done in our lives, we're strong. But beyond that, it says, by the blood of the Lamb. And isn't this the weird thing? Non-Christian people have a real hard time with understanding this blood thing. Those Christians are talking about blood all the time. What kind of weirdos are they? Got this blood thing. I donate blood, and they give me t-shirts, and I love my blood t-shirts, because it's always about blood and life, because you know what? Without blood, there's no life. Blood is something different, but this blood of the Lamb is not just talking about the stuff that runs through your veins. It's talking about this whole thing of Jesus coming as a baby, growing up, and giving his life on the cross, and then being raised up from the dead. We're going to sing a song. Overcome is the name of the song. We're going to stand up and sing this. And the words of the bridge go, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We'll all overcome as we share these two things. And we're going to take communion after this. I'll have a few words to say about that. But we're going to share communion. Because when we share communion, we're remembering that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. That Satan's most powerful attacks cannot overcome the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of Jesus, and the power that raised him from the dead. So let's stand and let's sing this song, and then we'll take communion together after a word.